PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes. Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
JT, I got to be honest with you, man. I'm gassed. So for those who don't know, right, I'm starting or finishing up now my third week working here at 96.5 back in the Kansas City area. I'm from the area originally. I grew up in small, quaint little Lawson, Missouri, which is about 30, 35 minutes northeast of downtown. Grew up about half an hour from the complex. But I went to college at Northwest Missouri State, and then after college, I moved down to Springfield, Missouri, because my wife was finishing up her studies at Missouri State at that time, and we were kind of in a spot where it was sort of like, at any point, right, it felt like, you know, in 6 months, we could move back to Kansas City, and it just sort of like kept snowballing and snowballing in a good way, right? We kept getting more opportunities, and things started to expand for me in the place that I was working at, and for her in school and her career, and so we ended up staying down in Springfield, or at least I did, for over 4 years, and she was down there for up over 6 years, but we finally had a chance to come back up here, and in doing so, this is home. This is where we want to be for the long haul, so my wife and I are now in the process, for the first time in our lives, of house hunting. Boy, it is not as fun as it's cracked up to be. Good Lord. My wife and I, we looked at 5 houses today, and I mean, it's a journey, right? It's a lot of like mental wear and tear, because you're going into these houses, and like for my wife and I, we're not looking to just like buy a home that is 100% said and done with, and there's nothing more that we can do to it, right? We're young. It's our first home. We don't have children yet. So we're kind of looking for a home that like we can buy that's a little bit on the cheaper, right? It's livable per se, but there's things that we can do to it. Improvements to be made, put in hardwood floors instead of carpet, add on to the back of the house, put in a master bathroom, finish the basement, those sorts of things. And so when we walk into a house, we're not looking at it from the perspective of like, what does it look like right now? We have to look at it with like a future view of like what we want it to look like when we get to that point. So that's, I mean, that takes a lot of like imagination within your brain, a lot of creativity, kind of wears out your senses in a respect, because you're just constantly thinking about what could this do? What are the pros and cons? How is this going to work? What is it not? How is it not going to work? All the things. So we were out and about all day today. We got to our first house viewing at like 9:30. We were done at around 3 o'clock, drove straight here. We went and got breakfast beforehand. you know, funny story. We leave our second house. And of course, at all these houses, there's like a little gate code or like the little lockbox thing that has some sort of like 4-digit pin that you got to put in. So we leave the second house that we viewed, and our realtor accidentally left his phone in the house. And so we're having to like maneuver our, because we got three separate cars. And so we're having to like get him to the next location. He ends up getting lost in Liberty at one point. We got to like track him down. My brother-in-law like gets out on the highway and tries to flag him down. It was a whole thing, a whole process. Like, I'm so thrilled because my wife and I, this is our first home, right? We've been living in a communal space in some respect, right? A dorm or an apartment for almost a decade. So for us to be able to have like our own space for the first time in our lives is kind of a thrilling experience. But nobody tells you what buying a house and the ordeal and the house hunting that has to occur and pre-approval and a you know, putting an offer in on a house and the it is exhausting. And I feel so bad for my wife because she's, you know, kind of the heaviest hand in this whole thing. And yeah, we are going through it right now, but it's a good thing, right? That's the way I kind of keep approaching it. It's like, it's a good thing. We are getting a house. We are going to be homeowners for the first time in our lives. That's pretty thrilling. We're not paying rent. We own this. This is ours, which is pretty cool. It's just the process of getting to the point where we have the house is exhausting.
Thanks for the heads up.
You're welcome.
How was apartment searching? Because I'm going to do that soon.
I to be honest with you, I couldn't tell you because I never got an apartment in Kansas City, right? I lived with my parents till I was 18, and then I went to college and I lived in a dorm, and then I lived in an apartment for a couple of years in Maryville, Missouri, which is not that hard. In Maryville, Missouri, you know, the competition level's not strong in a town of, you know, 6,000-7,000 people.
I kind of figured when I went to Warrensburg, so yeah.
Yeah, fair. And then you go down, you know, down in Springfield. It was a little bit hard in Springfield, but again, that's a community of like 200,000 people. I mean, this is got a million plus folks in the metro, right? I mean, it's a lot. Now, there's a lot more options. It's just, yeah, I mean, it can be a hassle. The last time my wife and I were looking for an apartment a few years ago, it was a lot, and we kind of fell backwards into a really good spot with the apartment that we were living in. But it's hard, man. I mean, living in an apartment, you got like little kids that live above you, or you got some random middle-aged, recently divorced guy in the apartment next to you who's blaring 80s rock. Like, I'm listening to Metallica at 7:30 in the morning on a Sunday, and you're like, dude, why? Why are we doing this? I'm still asleep. Leave me alone. Like, you're rattling, like the mirror in the bathroom is shaking because of how loud your music is. So it is what it is, right? Yeah, I got a 913 here. It says, house hunting sucks. Good luck. Thanks. I appreciate it. But I keep looking at it from the perspective of it's not supposed to be easy. And at the end of the day, it's going to be worth it because we are going to have our own space, something that we own it, right? We're not paying somebody for something that could not be ours in a month. We own that property. We get to establish the equity in it. And if we end up selling it a few years down the line, that's ours. We get that back. So it's pretty cool to have ownership in something. Right now, we like own our cars. That's it. That's like the only ownership that we really have of any kind on this earth. So is what it is, right? I mean, that's the beauty and the curse of coming home. Is we're leaving a spot in Springfield where we were comfortable, but it's not where we wanted to be. This is where we wanted to be. I'm sitting where I wanted to be, working for this station and this company was something I dreamt of as a 12-year-old kid. And now I'm here. And that's awesome to me. And now we get to own a space and call it ours. Hell yeah, dude. Sign me up. I know it sucks, but it's going to be worth it. At some point, it'll be worth it.
At some point, right?
At some point, right? Once we actually have it and we don't have to worry about looking for a house, then the focus is going to shift to, okay, now we have to renovate or put an island in or tear out carpet and put in full flooring and all the things, right? But again, that's going to come with a sense of ownership of like, I'm not putting this in for somebody else. This is mine. I'm putting this in for me and my wife and what we're trying to build in our lives and our family. So that's pretty cool. 913-586-7965. I'm not going to divulge into any more house hunting things because I know everybody's got a little bit of PTSD if you've ever looked for a house before in your life, I'm sure. But taking a look at our text line, I got an 816 here that says, Alan will be house hunting after Sunday. Man, Yeah, I mean, probably. He's engaged. Him and Haley might be looking for a home somewhere.
Is it because his rent's up at Allen?
Allenhead?
Allenhead, yeah.
Yeah, his rent's up at Allenhead. Good Lord. Come on, Craig Carton. What are we doing? I got on my soapbox about it yesterday. I'm not going to do it again today, but good Lord. I mean, I could understand it coming from Schlereth, a Broncos guy who just despises the Chiefs, and rightfully so, right? He's got every right to do that. I love that personally, right? Because he's not doing it to elicit a response the way that some other guys are, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure half these national media pundits don't believe half of the stuff that comes flying out of their mouths. But for a guy like Schlereth, who had great years in Denver, won Super Bowls with Elway, had to come to Arrowhead once a year and play in that environment, which he is very open and honest about saying that it is the best environment in professional sports. His hatred, his disdain is well-founded. It is absolutely well-founded. So I think that from that standpoint, okay, Schlereth, do your thing. Say whatever you want. But for Craig Carton, a Jets fan, come on. You don't mean that. There's no way. Allenhead, really? Maybe that's just the New York in him and the fact that the Bills are in, you know, Orchard Park and in New York, the state of New York. There's something to that, but, man, I don't know. And Danny deserves so much better, right? I mean, we love Danny. Danny's a guy that was right here when it was 6'10", right? Did shows for us. And now he's at the national level, and I love it. I wish him and Nick would just do a show together. That would be great. That would be the most Chiefs-filled, Bears-filled stuff you've ever heard in your life, but it would be awesome.
And then going at each other about who has the better picks for the weekend.
Oh, God. Yeah, it'd be so much fun. Those two guys are great friends, and it would be fun to listen to, but I mean, I get it, right? And you're not going to have, not everybody in the national media is going to say, oh, yeah, the Chiefs are going to win, because that's not, people are going to gravitate towards that. It is what it is, right? I got an 816 says it's now it's all about creating a soap opera. Got another one that says, the thing I loved about sports media as a 40-year-old man when I was a kid, it was all about no bias and only positive things. And that's kind of a twofold sort of a thing. It's got, there's multiple facets to it. Number one, you can't really do sports media without bias anymore. You can't just report on the game. You can't just read the box score anymore the way you used to, because everybody's got the box score on this little thing that they keep in their pocket all the time. If I want to know what the score of the Kansas game is tomorrow night, all I have to do is open up that little E app on my phone, click on that score, and I can read the box score. It's right there. Nobody, you don't need to tell me what the final score was and what the box score held. I know that. Tell me what happened in the game. Tell me what you thought about what happened in the game. And when you do that, that's where bias becomes a factor. Nature of the beast. And when it comes to that, and you've got bias, not everybody can have the same opinion, right? Not everybody can say, oh yeah, Patrick Mahomes is the best player in football, because that's not entertaining to everyone. Good, bad, or otherwise, right? The old adage of you're going to listen because you hate it, or you're going to listen because you love it, is based on bias. Chiefs fans are going to tune in and listen to what Craig Carton and Mark Schlereth are going to say on a Friday morning after the stupid thing they said yesterday about the Allenhead comment. Right, they're going to tune in to see what in the world you're talking about. One of the best examples of that is Colin Cowherd on FS1. I was a huge fan of The Herd when I was a kid, used to watch it all the time, and I am an Iowa fan. So when I was a senior in high school, 2015, that was the year Iowa went undefeated, 12-0, right? Undefeated regular season, they were the number 4 team in America. It looked like they were going to make the college football playoff. It was going to be unreal. College football playoff berth for the Iowa Hawkeyes of all teams. But for the last like 6 to 8 weeks of the year, Colin Cowherd was talking about Iowa as the fake ID of college football. Kept referring to them as the fake ID of college football. Oh, they haven't played anybody. Oh, Wisconsin did this against them and that's how they won the game. Or, oh, this happened against Nebraska. Right? Would never give Iowa any credit. And you're thinking, as an Iowa fan, like, oh, I can't believe he would say that. But then, subconsciously, you start tuning into his show to hear what he's got to say. And it was funny watching the ratings of his show. Iowa was in like the bottom 10 states in terms of ratings for his show. By the time the college football season ended, they were in the top half. The ratings shift on that alone of doing something negative about the University of Iowa changing the ratings in a positive manner for him within that state. That's what I mean. They're going to say things that are going to elicit a visceral response, whether you love it or you hate it. People tune in to listen to Nick Wright talk in Chiefs Kingdom because they love what he has to say. They're going to tune in to listen to, I can't remember what their midday show is with Chase Daniel and LeSean McCoy and those guys. Yes, the facility. Because LeSean and Chase Daniel are big Chiefs guys because of the connection with Andy. But the other two guys are very anti-Chiefs. That's how you go about it, right? And now you've got people saying, oh, Josh Allen's been the better quarterback this year versus Patrick Mahomes. Blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Well, guess what? He was probably better than last year than Mahomes, and guess what? Mahomes still won a Super Bowl, so I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, my biggest one is Colin. We talking about Colin. He hates Nick Sirianni. It is the funniest thing. And I'll tune in to listen to him talk about Nick Sirianni because he goes, he literally was like, oh, he's a little kid that got the job and he throws a fit at the fans and all this. I'm like, man, Philly's just tuning in and going irate at this stuff.
Yes, because that is how, good, bad, or otherwise, that's how the national media works now. They know that they have to get you to tune in because you love it or because you hate it. If you're just like, yeah, it's okay, that's not going to move you to tune in. That's not going to move you to turn on the television or turn up the radio dial or open the app and listen or watch. You're just not.
Like, I'll tell you this much. If the Chiefs win Sunday, I'm tuning in to Colin because he said today, guess what? He said the gig's up for Kansas City. They're done. They're losing to the Bills. Guess what? I can't wait to watch him flabber about how he was totally right about it. He just didn't want to say it.
Oh, yeah. That's what they're all doing right now, right? I mean, I got 816 here. It says, like Ryan Clark saying that Patrick Mahomes hasn't had to put the Chiefs on his back before. What? Did you watch the 2018 through 2021 Kansas City Chiefs? Did we watch the same football, Ryan? And, like, I've liked Ryan for a long time. But at a certain point, right, it seems like these guys flip. They flip-flop all the time.
That's like saying I never went to Chick-fil-A today.
Because they don't say what they're actually thinking. They don't give you an actual, honest response. When a guy like Mark Schlereth does it, that is an actual, honest response because he truly does despise the Kansas City Chiefs. That derives from him being a Broncos guy. But when a Stephen A. Smith or a Craig Carton or a Ryan Clark says it, okay, do you really believe that? I mean, honestly, do you really believe that? I mean, one of my favorite guys in media right now is Dan Orlovsky. Because I believe what he's saying when he says it. He does not exude fake energy to me. Skip Bayless? Fake energy. A lot of fake energy coming from Skip in a lot of respects.
He's been the biggest energy from Fox.
Yeah, I mean, he's been the biggest LeBron James hater for 20 years. And you can hate LeBron James all you want. All you want, you can hate LeBron James. But you're not going to act like he's not one of the two or three best players in the history of the league. You're not going to get that out of anybody.
Just like he does with Mahomes. I mean, yeah, it's so fun. Watching him go irate Saturday with all the capital letters saying this and this about Mahomes and all that, I'm like, man, I'm just so glad you're off my TV.
Yeah. All it is to elicit a response at the end of the day. You're going to listen and watch because you love it, or you're going to listen and watch because you hate it. That's all there is to it. And they know that. The algorithm tells them that. The ratings tell them that. And yeah, I agree. It's been a downfall. I mean, I'm not in my 40s, right? I'm in my late 20s. But SportsCenter 15 years ago when I was a kid is wildly different than the SportsCenter we watch today. I would sit at 7 o'clock at night on a Saturday, and I would sit and watch the same episode because they only recorded one episode. It was like one episode of SportsCenter, like live from 6 to 7, and then it was the same episode of SportsCenter on a loop until like 4 o'clock in the morning. That was it. And I would sit there and watch the same episode of SportsCenter over and over and over and over and over again. And I get that it's different because you've got smartphones now that read the box score for you. You've got Twitter and Facebook and TikTok and all these social media platforms where you can catch the highlights, but not all in one place the way that we used to experience with SportsCenter. I mean, those days when you would turn on the television and you got SVP and Stuart Scott sitting
Stuart
in the chairs.
Stuart Scott, it's colder on the other side of the pillow.
Oh, man. SVP and Stuart Scott sitting at the table. You're like, this is going to be a phenomenal hour of television.
And you
I just don't have that anymore.
You only had about that 10-minute span where you got the top 10 plays. Now you go on your smartphone and you see all the plays. But back then, you had to be there around that 50-minute mark where you were going to get the top 10 plays of the day. And if you missed it, you had to rewatch that whole episode to get them.
Yeah. It was a nightly thing that you did when you were a kid,
and sit down and watch
SportsCenter.
They had the thing on the side of the screen telling you what was coming next. All right, highlights of the Chiefs-Jags. Next up, Colts and Texans. Like, those things were on the little side, and they would go down the order. You're like, oh, when's my highlights coming? When's the highlights for my team coming? And then you would see it come up. You're like, oh, it's almost here for my team.
It was a beautiful thing, and it's just not that way anymore. And it's unfortunate, but again, this is an adapt or die business because we are an adapt or die society. Nature of the beast. After hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber here with you. My producer for tonight's show is JT Noah. And I got to say, the text line blown up a little bit based on the last conversation that we've had. We'll continue to take a look at those throughout the show here tonight. But I want to get into some NFL coaching carousel news. You've got a new head coach out in Vegas joining the Raiders in the AFC West, plus a weird scenario that leads to a Buccaneers coordinator becoming the head coach of the Jaguars when it sounded like that wasn't going to happen, and then it did happen kind of very, very suddenly. We'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO! YOLO! YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's been a show full of like soapbox segments in this one. And I don't think we're done yet. I definitely don't think we're done with some of these soapbox takes here on this program tonight. After hours on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber joined by JT Noah. Our text line is 913-586-7965. We were talking about, you know, the national media and how they have warped and created storylines seemingly out of thin air to try to go against the Chiefs just to give themselves a different kind of opinion to boost their ratings one way or the other. Taking a look at our text line, he said, one person said in 832, I think it'd be fun to have a look ahead to what all the national guys are going to say when it's the Commanders facing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. What wild and crazy storylines and theories are they going to spit out with that one? Well, a lot of it's going to center around Jaden Daniels being the first rookie quarterback to start a Super Bowl, right? Which would be absolutely remarkable. The Chiefs going for the three-peat and seemingly how the refs helped the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl in the first place, right? I mean, they're going to point out the two calls made in the Texans game. There's going to be a call or two in this Bills game that I'm sure they're going to love to discuss and decipher and filter and regurgitate over and over and over again. That's just going to become nauseating to those of us in the kingdom.
Don't forget how Jaden Daniels had better numbers than Mahomes did his rookie season, even though Mahomes never played his rookie season.
Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury being the head coach for Patrick Mahomes in college.
Right, now the OC for the Commanders.
Yeah, that'd be a good one, intriguing one.
That's a good storyline, right?
Yeah,
that's a good storyline.
Yeah.
Mahomes and company going for the three-peat. Jaden Daniels being a rookie. It's the other stuff that we're going to get that's going to become insanity, and there's going to be people out there that are going to pick the Commanders just to be different. And if they're right, they're right. Congratulations. Good on you. But there's no way you actually thought, unless you were a Washington Commanders diehard, that you think the Chiefs would beat, that the Commanders would beat the Chiefs in a Super Bowl. There's just no way. Absolutely no way.
Bro, Spags against a rookie quarterback, you cannot be serious.
No.
Right, exactly.
No, as good a year as Jaden Daniels has had, give him all the credit in the world. I just don't see it. I got an 816 here, says, loving the late night coverage. You guys rock. Give me a full send on Hunt versus Pacheco. It's Hunt. Hunt's got to be the guy. Like I said earlier in the show, if the Chiefs want to run the ball 25 times, 15 to 18 carries has got to go to Hunt. It has to, especially between the tackles. If you're trying to get something going through the A or the B gap, it's got to go there, right? If you want to run something between Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey, I mean, look at that run that he had in the game running in between the block of Travis Kelce, who was pulling from the right side and doing a kick out of the linebacker, and Joe Tooney, who was closing off the left side and setting the edge. I mean, he squeezed through that hole phenomenally and put it out together for a 10-plus yard run. That is what you need between the tackles, is a guy like Kareem Hunt, who's a patient runner, who's got great vision. Pacheco just doesn't have those things. He's a road runner. He gets the football, and he's going north-south. You know, I thought it was interesting, hosting the post-game show last week with Chris Unocero, the way that he described it was sort of like if you're playing against a buddy in like Madden or College Football 25 who is holding the sprint button before the running back even gets the ball, right? Instead of waiting for the blocks to develop, he's already holding the sprint trigger. He's ready to go as soon as that's the kind of the way that Pacheco runs the football. And that's fine. I just think at this point in the year, Kareem Hunt is the more, I don't want to say reliable because they're both reliable runners of the football. He's the more effective runner of the football. When Pacheco could get you four yards in between the tackles, Kareem Hunt might get you six or seven. And I think that's a massive difference in a game of this magnitude.
Here's a super hot take. I think our boy Pacheco is going to be the third running back on the totem pole this week. I think Perine even gets more snaps than Pacheco because I think they're going to use Perine into the passing game a little more than people are anticipating.
Especially considering, you know, Pacheco, I mean, early on, like last year, he seemed to be pretty reliable catching the ball out of the backfield. Not quite to the level that you had with Jet McKinnon, but this year you've seen some struggles with that. He had a big drop in that game against Houston last week. I don't know. So it's an interesting one. I got a 913 says, I don't flip-flop or give fake energy. That one courtesy of old Sean Barbershop Barber. So, literally in parentheses, Barbershop 59. Appreciate you, Barbershop. No, you do not. We in Chiefs Kingdom don't do that around here. Another 816 says, talking about SportsCenter, we were talking about that key duo of Scott Van Pelt and Stuart Scott, who used to do the SportsCenter together. He says, give an honorable mention to John Anderson and Kenny Mayne.
John Anderson, a Mizzou alum.
That is a Mizzou alum, and Kenny Mayne brought the energy, baby. It was fun. I mean, like, I'm not a big hockey guy. I'll admit that. I'm not a hockey guy. But when Kenny Mayne would do highlights of hockey, it got me fired up. Like, I didn't know anything about hockey, but I was ready to go. Right? He's talking about how great Alex Ovechkin is, and oh, look at what, you know, Crosby's doing for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm like, yeah, great. I don't know who either of those guys are at that point in my life, at 9 years old or whatever, who had never, I've still never been to a hockey game in my life. You got fired up when Kenny Mayne was doing the show. And John Anderson brought a level of, like, entertainment and professionalism to it, right? That Mizzou School of Journalism sort of thing, hey, which was fun.
Did you ever watch Wipeout?
Oh, God, yeah.
John Anderson was, man, on there. It was the funniest thing.
Dude.
Yeah, man.
He brought the energy.
The big red balls.
Yes, sir. The big red balls. Wipeout. Oh, man. That took the world. That took the United States by storm when that came out.
I could not believe. I was like, oh, my God, I want to do that.
It was unbelievable television at that point in time. No doubt. Got an 816 says, by now, though, he's not a rookie quarterback. Have you ever heard that one before? Yeah, I've heard it. Okay. But it's the Super Bowl. Like, it's his first year as a starter. Yeah, he's played 20-plus games, 21 games at this point in the year, whatever. He's had a great year, but he's still a rookie. I mean, was Bo Nix not a rookie quarterback anymore when he's got to go to Buffalo for a wild card game? No, he's still a rookie. And you could see the moment kind of overwhelmed him. The moment hasn't overwhelmed Jaden Daniels to this point. But that's not to say that it won't, right? Maybe this week it overwhelms him. If somehow they win the game, and you got to go to New Orleans to face the dynasty of the era in the Kansas City Chiefs and the aura that surrounds 15-87 when it comes to the playoffs. And you got to line up for four quarters with 95 breathing heavy, breathing fire on the other side. I don't know. But I don't think that the Commanders win this game against the Eagles.
I don't either. I mean, if you think about it, they've only won one game against a playoff team before the playoffs even started, and it was against the Eagles, and Jalen Hurts only had 16 snaps that game because he got hurt.
Right.
And Devontae Smith dropped the game-sealing catch on third down. So, but if he makes it, congrats. It's going to be a very hot topic if the Commanders make it. Oh, where does he rank in quarterbacks in the NFC? That'll be the hottest topic you'll hear.
Oh, that would be a fascinating conversation because he may be the best quarterback in the NFC.
He's one or two if he does it. Because do you put Matthew Stafford above him?
I don't know. I mean, at this point in his career, right? And Stafford may hang it up. That's right?
Yeah.
McVay's hammering him about, you know, I want to know sooner rather than later if you're done. Stafford hangs it up. Who else is out there in the NFC? Jordan Love, Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
Baker Mayfield.
Jalen Hurts? Like, are we going to put Hurts out there?
I'm not putting Hurts out there. Hurts has got to throw the football 30-plus times a game for me to even consider that.
What about Purdy?
Purdy's got to stay healthy.
Well, that's true. 49ers got to stay healthy.
49, yeah, the organization as a whole has got to stay healthy. But, you know, we saw Purdy's lack of productivity when he didn't have weapons galore at his disposal, which is kind of a knock against him. I think Jaden Daniels has wowed people. Now, the question is, what does he look like next year? Right? Because C.J. Stroud wowed people last year. This year is a different story. You got a year of film on guys, right? That sophomore slump came to play with C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans this year. What does that look like next year for Jaden Daniels? That is, I think, going to be the biggest question that he is yet to answer, that he is going to need to answer in a big way. He's going to have to answer the bell in that category. I got another 816 says, I hear you. What about Hunt in the first half, then Pacheco to slice in the second half? Says, sorry to blow you guys up. Don't apologize. We love it. We appreciate you texting in. All of you guys getting a hold of us via the text line 913-586-7965. I don't mind that from that standpoint. I don't think that it should just exclusively be Pacheco in the second half. I think if you want to hammer Kareem Hunt in the first half and then sprinkle in Pacheco, right? I mean, I'm going back to the hypothetical of, say, you run the football 25 times in the football game, 30 times in the football game. You give Kareem Hunt 10 or 12 carries in the first half, and then you maybe give him 6 or 8 carries in the second half. You may give Pacheco 2 carries in the first half, and then maybe you give him 6 or 8 carries in the second half. Right, make it an 18-10, 16-10 sort of a split between those two guys. But I think Pacheco's got to be your bell cow in a football game of this magnitude for sure. And if the running game is effective with Kareem Hunt, it's just going to open up more things in the passing game. It's absolutely going to make life easier for Mahomes and company when they decide to go to the play action or send Xavier Worthy on a jet touch pass or a jet sweep, you know, motion across the field, those sorts of things. We got more to get to here on tonight's program. Coaching carousel news in the NFL. That's what we'll discuss when we come back. This is After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber, joined by JT Noah on your home for Kansas City sports.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO! YOLO! YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Boy, one of my favorite parts of the NFL season that isn't, you know, actual games being played or free agency or the draft. Well, now that I think about it, maybe it's not one of my favorite parts of the NFL season, but one of the most intriguing parts of it is the NFL coaching carousel. Who's getting fired? Who's getting hired? All those sorts of things are kind of fascinating to watch, right? We saw Ben Johnson get hired by the Bears. We saw Aaron Glenn be picked up by the Jets. Now you've got two coaches being hired in the last 24 hours for head coaching gigs. The first we'll start with right here in the AFC West, the Las Vegas Raiders. Pete Carroll is going to be the next head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, meshing him together once again with maybe one of the biggest rivals in his coaching career, Jim Harbaugh. They were rivals in the NFC West together for years when Harbaugh was with the 49ers and Carroll was with the Seahawks. And, you know, prior to that, they were rivals at the college level with Harbaugh at Stanford and Carroll at USC. And now you've got Harbaugh with the LA Chargers and Pete Carroll with the Las Vegas Raiders. But it raises an interesting question, right? What is the one thing we've heard about every offseason for the last 5 years with this Chiefs team? Oh, well, you know, when is Andy Reid going to retire? You know, when is Mahomes going to have to move on and have a different head coach and blah, blah, blah. When is Andy Reid going to retire? Why are we asking that about Andy Reid? Pete Carroll hired today by the Raiders. He's 73 years old. He's 6 years older than Andy Reid. Why is Andy being asked every single year for the last half decade when he's going to hang it up? If Pete Carroll's still doing it at 73, why can't Andy be doing it 6 years from now? I don't think we should worry about it. But it's fascinating to see what the coaches in the AFC West look like now. All four coaches in this division have been to a Super Bowl now. Three of them have won a Super Bowl. Right? Sean Payton, now with the Denver Broncos, won a Super Bowl in New Orleans with the Saints. You have Pete Carroll, who won a Super Bowl with the Seahawks. Should have won a second one. Why didn't Marshawn Lynch get the football on the goal line? The world may never know. Andy Reid's won three, been to four. Harbaugh took the Niners to a Super Bowl, lost to his brother in the Baltimore Ravens. That is elite head coaching within this division. A little bit older head coaching than we're used to seeing in this division. I saw something today that like the average age of the head coach in the NFC West was like 42 or something like that. And the average age of a head coach in the AFC West is now like 62. Like, that's insane. That's nuts how much of a difference that makes. But that is a very, very interesting hire from the Las Vegas Raiders, you know, going back to a more defensive-minded head coach again, right? After you had Antonio Pierce previously, you had Josh McDaniels, who's certainly more offensive-minded before that. I don't know. But the more interesting storyline, and, you know, I'm going to bring you in on this, JT, this situation with Liam Cohen, who was he was in an agreement with the Buccaneers to become the highest-paid coordinator in football, in the history of the NFL. And then there's this weird, you know, he like pulled himself out of consideration for the Jaguars job after that. And then he comes back into consideration. Sounds like there may have been some finagling behind the scenes by the Jags to, you know, I guess quench the need, you know, to satisfy the Rooney rule before they ultimately went and got their guy in Liam Cohen, who they had that's who they targeted. That's the guy that they wanted. Kind of a strange little ordeal, but at the end of the day, Liam Cohen now going to be the next head coach of the Jaguars on a 5-year deal.
It was interesting because as I was watching it unfold on Twitter and listening to some people, Bucks are not happy. And it's because he wasn't talking to him yesterday. Well, then his wife comes out today and says, oh, well, our kid was sick and he was in the hospital. We had to take care of him. And that's why we couldn't get to the phone and all this. Okay, all right. But what happened was I heard he was supposed to become the highest paid coordinator in the NFL. That's what the Bucks offered him. He never signed it. They were kind of forearming him to sign it. Never signed it. Then the Jags fire their GM because he said he didn't like the GM. So they fire him. And then he comes back. And now he's supposed to get Ben Johnson money. He might even get more than Ben Johnson. If he gets more than Ben Johnson, good for him. But my thing is this. You can be upset if you want Bucks, but you would be as quick to fire him if he was doing a bad job. So he's going to do what's best for him. He's going to go get the money and make it work with whatever he wants to do, because if it's the opposite way, no one's batting an eye. But since it's the offensive coordinator doing something shady, let's go after him because he's doing this and he's not helping this team out. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, two fan bases who are not doing themselves any favors with having elite coordinators right now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I understand they have a legitimate sort of gripe here because he withdrew his name from consideration, became the highest paid offensive coordinator in the history of the league, right? He's like, I don't like the GM. And then they fire the GM. He lies about where he's at, right? Oh, we got to take our kid to the hospital. Meanwhile, he's on a flight to Jacksonville. Jacksonville's keeping the whole thing under wraps because they're supposed to be bringing in Robert Saleh for an in-person interview today, which not sure if it even happened.
It never happened. That's exactly the thing. So they had another guy come in. I forgot who it was, but he was
another minority head coach in order to satisfy the Rooney rule.
That's why they kept it hush-hush, because if they knew that got out, then he wouldn't come.
Right. And then they needed him to come to satisfy the Rooney rule and hire the guy that they initially wanted to hire in the first place.
So I don't get... But here's my thing. Okay, if you wanted to hire him in the first place... He was already there before the minority. I don't get the whole...
Yeah, the whole thing is a very, very bizarre saga. But for Buccaneers fans to be as upset as they are, I think if you are the NFL, that is something that should probably be investigated in some respect. That's a kind of a strange ordeal that took place there. The other team that's not doing themselves any favors is the Detroit Lions. I mean, my God. Ben Johnson leaves and takes the Bears job, and they immediately start just badgering about Ben Johnson, complaining about him. Oh, great. Happy to see him leave, this and that and the other. Like, he took you guys from the cellar. You were the laughingstock of professional football.
I don't know if you saw, but he just took their wide receiver coach, Randall L., too.
Yeah. Yeah. Antoine Randall L. That's an Indiana Hoosier. For those who don't know.
He was doing some good stuff over there for the wide receiver. So him going over to Chicago is going to be real help for Caleb Williams, too.
Right. And we'll wait and see what happens with Aaron Glenn, because he may take some guys with him. Who knows, right? And Aaron Glenn's been getting some flack about leaving, which is just, again, mind-numbingly stupid. Like, Detroit, you have been a dumpster fire in this league forever. Again, you've never been to a Super Bowl. Ever. Let's not suddenly act like you're the king of the castle. Right. You're not Bo Rat. You're not sitting there saying, you know, this, I have a chair. This, you know, I am the king of my domain. I am the top of the top. No, stop. Like, those two guys are a massive part of why you guys are no longer looked at as an automatic W on everybody's schedule anymore. Those two guys alongside Dan Campbell are the biggest reason why you're in the position that you are now. Give those guys their flowers. Thank them on their way out the door. Don't do what you're doing right now, which is just dogging them on social media.
And for you to say, oh, his head wasn't in the game, you scored 31. The only questionable call he had was the one where he had Jameson Williams throwing the football. But that was the only questionable call he had during the whole game, in my opinion. Like, other than that, you scored 31, and your quarterback decided to throw the football too many times to the other team.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And then got himself obliterated on a pick six.
Lord.
I mean, he got smoked. So I don't know. It's a strange sort of situation that's following around the Lions right now. This weird ordeal with Liam Cohen is absolutely insane. But that's not the one that I really want to get to. And we'll get to it when we come back, because I have been very vocal this week about the way that D'Amico Ryans handled and conducted himself and his football team on Sunday against the Chiefs. And he's put another nail in his coffin with me with the decision that was made today to part ways with offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick. I'll talk about that when we come back here on After Hours with Logan Weber and producer JT Noah on 96.5 The Fan. Oh, football, football, football. On tonight's edition of After Hours with Logan Weber and JT Noah, we've been talking a lot of Chiefs Bills, talked a lot about the NFL coaching carousel and Liam Cohen being hired by the Jaguars, Pete Carroll being hired by the Raiders. But I got a couple minutes here before we hit the last hour of the show, and I want to get back on my soapbox one more time to just question D'Amico Ryans. Earlier today, the Texans announced that they fired their offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, after two seasons in Houston. They also fired their offensive line coach, Chris Strouser, and their assistant offensive line coach, Cole Popovich. Okay, you fire the offensive line coaches, I get it, right? They had the worst offensive line in football. C.J. Stroud was sacked more than any quarterback in the NFL this season, and that is including the eight times the Chiefs brought him to the turf for a sack in that divisional round game. But this, again, goes right in line with what I'm saying about D'Amico Ryans and his inability as a young head coach and a former player to not take responsibility for his own actions or inadequacies. He lost a football game. The Texans had a regression year. And instead of taking on the responsibility of saying, yeah, that's on me, we've got to be better. No. Let's put the blame on everybody else. Let's blame the media. Let's blame the officiating. And now let's blame our offensive coordinator and Bobby Slowick, who came over from the San Francisco 49ers system. And the first thing you did was get rid of his fullback, which is a massive part of the schematics of the San Francisco 49ers. So in doing that, Now Bobby Slowick has to completely reevaluate what his scheme looks like and how he goes about it. Then you trade for Stephon Diggs, and now you've got to have three wide receiver sets. More than anything else in your playbook, you've got to have three wide receiver sets. You do that, Nico Collins goes down early in the season, ends up on IR for some 8 weeks. He comes back, but during that time, you lose Stephon Diggs to the torn ACL. Right? Then you get Nico Collins back, and you still got those two guys, right? Then Tank Dell blows his knee out in that game against Kansas City in that really horrific play. So you've lost two wide receivers for the year. A third missed a considerable amount of time. Dalton Schultz missed time with injury. You've got the worst offensive line in football. Joe Mixon missed time with an injury, and plus he was still dealing with some of the ramifications of some off-field stuff that was lingering and whatnot from his time in Cincinnati. And you expected the guy to have a good year? You're dealing with a quarterback who's going into his second year in the league with a full-on, you know, he's got a full season of film under him. So he's got the sophomore slump. Teams are now preparing and can scout C.J. Stroud better. And instead, you fire your offensive coordinator who helped you get to the playoffs. It's just a cop-out. He was looking for a scapegoat. In my view, DeMeco Ryans looked for a scapegoat, and he found one in Bobby Slowick. I was a big fan of DeMeco Ryans last year, but he has quickly worn out his welcome with me in the decisions that he has made in the last week, just in the last week with what he's done here. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I was shocked when I saw that on breaking news. Oh, he's fired. I was like, wait, what? This dude was in consideration for some head coaching jobs last year, and you don't understand what he went through this year with the offense. Bad offensive line, then you lose a wide receiver for a couple longer than that, IR time, comes back, and then, oh, wait, there goes one more. And then a couple of weeks later, oh, there goes another one. You lose two of your top three wide receivers, and you have an aging tight end in Dalton Schultz. You got Joe Mixon, who's kind of on the older side, too, especially for a running back. I mean, what did you expect from this offense when you didn't build around it?
Yeah, I vehemently disagree with the decision by DeMeco Ryans here. I think he was just looking for somebody to put the blame on rather than taking responsibility for it himself, which is his job as the head coach. He took the easy way out, and I have no respect for that. We got one more hour of After Hours coming your way next here until 9 o'clock. This is Logan Weber, joined by my producer, JT Noah, on 96.5 The Fan.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO! YOLO! YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Too often, green laundry detergents come with a compromise. They're better for the planet, but worse at the one thing that matters most, cleaning your clothes. Dirty Labs believes you shouldn't have to lower your standards for the sake of sustainability. Using advanced green chemistry, they created a detergent that uses an entirely new cleaning engine, inspired by the genius of nature. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.